Let's lock up the Oregon fuel injection hotline, get our local view, find columnist for the Register Guard, catch his work in the sports section online, a couple of options, registerguard.com, ducksports.com, on Twitter, use the handle at AustinMeekRG. Austin joins us. Austin, how are you?
Hey, Steve, I'm fine. How are you doing?
All righty. So, you know, I like to test you occasionally over sporting events. The Women's World Cup is underway. The Americans are the defending champs. If you had any access to social media, you probably caught on that something ridiculous was happening. They scored 13 goals. You do the math, they only play 90 minutes. That's like one every 6 minutes and 45 seconds. Do you engage in this event, or do we put this up there with, like, the Preakness or Stanley Cup final?
Well, you know what? I did know that they scored 13 goals. I think it was our friend George Schroeder who actually informed me of that on Twitter. So I'm not completely ignorant of what's happening, only partially ignorant. And before anybody accuses me of being sexist here, I also didn't really pay attention to the Men's World Cup. So, trust me, it's a me problem. It's another one of those things on our list. I think we need, like, a special sound effect to play to signify another sporting event that I've failed to pay attention to. But sadly, that one is on the list.
All right. We'll make a note of that. Football, F-U-T-B-O-L, not so high on Austin's list. On Friday, you wrote about Cravon Gillespie, the Oregon sprinter, who had an amazing season. But the one story you wrote, the degenerate in me couldn't help but love it. So apparently in Pasadena growing up, his dad realized his son was a bit of a ringer. So if you could elaborate. So did they do what we could refer to as kind of run the running version of having a dice game behind the local barbershop?
Yeah, it was a great scene. You were the first person that came to mind when he was telling me that story. I thought Cannon would have loved to be there. You could just sort of picture a man in a dark alley throwing down money on a race between a six-year-old kid and a guy in his 20s. It was a pretty wild story. But I guess that tells you what kind of a prodigy Cravon Gillespie was as a kid, because he was the fastest kid in his neighborhood from a really young age, and you know, the other dads would bring their kids over and challenge into a race, and from what I understand, he was pretty much unbeatable back then, and still pretty much unbeatable. He ended up finishing second in both the 100 and the 200 for the Ducks, set school records in the final of both those races at the NCAA meet, so it was a pretty good day for him.
Yeah, even though it's changed a lot in recent years, you know, the reputation of Oregon as a distance school, both sides, men and women, have really come on sprint in the sprints. So the season overall he had holds up pretty well historically for a male sprinter here, doesn't it?
Yeah, as I put it in the column, it was kind of the best season Oregon fans never saw, because he never got to race at home. You know, in any other season, he would have had a handful of races at Hayward Field, including the NCAA meet, and you know, who knows what would have happened if he'd been running that race in front of the home fans. So to have the season he did without even being able to compete in a home meet, I think is pretty impressive. And you're right, you know, the tradition of Oregon has not been in sprinting, it's been in the distances. He's the first guy in school history to go below 10 seconds in the 100, which is kind of a, you know, sort of a hallowed benchmark. And as Robert Johnson said, not a lot of schools around the country can claim to have had a sub 10 second sprinter. Now Oregon has one, and it's Cravon Gillespie.
So here we sit as we continue with Austin Meek of the Register Guard. It's June 11th, two openings for a Pac-12 baseball coach, I guess three, both here in the Valley. Last week, I was talking about Andrew Checkitz from West Lynn. He obviously is. He went to OSU, coached here, now at UC Santa Barbara. So when you're talking to people, how hot of a commodity is he? And is it logical to think he's in running for all those jobs?
Yeah, so a little bit of an update on him, because when I wrote about this last week, that really was the buzz in college baseball circles, is that he really held all the cards here, that he was the guy who was on top of the list for a lot of different schools and could have his pick of potentially a couple different jobs, either Oregon or USC or even potentially Oregon State. And then the news that has come out since then is that he's apparently going to stay at UC Santa Barbara. I think that surprised a lot of people. I think a lot of people in the industry felt like, you know, he was ready to take whatever that job was going to be that he potentially could retire at. But you know, apparently he thinks maybe UC Santa Barbara is the place.
Wow.
And I guess, you know, you could look back at George Horton leaving Cal State Fullerton to come to Oregon, and you would say, you know, that's probably a step up to come to the Pac-12. But you know, maybe some coaches have figured out that those jobs in Southern California at the smaller schools really aren't that bad. You know, you can get to the College World Series. You went to the College World Series at UC Santa Barbara. You're in great proximity to a lot of talented recruits. Certainly worst places in the world that you could live in Santa Barbara. So a surprise maybe that he's staying put, but that is the buzz right now.
Are you elsewhere? Are you someplace in tough cell phone range? You're a tad tinny, is what I want to say.
Oh, tinny. Well, I am sitting in my car right now, so maybe I should, like, hang my head out the window. Would that help?
I don't want to offer up anything that could lead to damage, but let's get to it.
No, I'm parked. I'm not a hazard to myself or anyone else.
I was going to say, the thought of you hanging out of your car driving 65 down the Beltline trying to talk to me is not something I'm willing to accept responsibility for.
I don't think that would probably help the sound quality either.
Let's get to men's basketball. So, Lewis King gone, Bol Bol gone, Kenny Wooten decided he's going to leave. So, now I guess they're having visits, they've got some commits, one guy from Rutgers, Eugene Amarui, they hosted, I guess, Teven Mack, a grad transfer from Vegas. So, what's the latest? What do we know? Who's committed or who's pending?
Well, I think the one that is going to really potentially make a big impact next year is Anthony Mathis from New Mexico, a teammate of Peyton Pritchard's in high school, a guy who put up good numbers at New Mexico. I don't think that this is like Elijah Brown Part 2, you know, remembering a grad transfer from New Mexico who maybe came in and was going to chuck up a bunch of shots and not be, you know, the most efficient shooter. Anthony Mathis was a 41% shooter from three-point range. So I really think that he's going to step in as a grad transfer and really help next year as a guy on the wing and part of that rotation. And obviously, I think the connection with Peyton Pritchard is going to really help there. But the other guys that they've picked up and seem to be in on are potentially guys who will be sitting out next year. I think that makes some sense that Oregon's looking for guys like that because, you know, they kind of got caught in a weird situation. Some guys left from the draft that they didn't expect. So they've got a bunch of scholarships just kind of sitting there. And they want to make sure they have some guys on the team a couple years from now. You know, the way we are in college basketball right now, it really is year to year. Like, you just can't assume that any guy is going to be with you more than 1 year. So if you've got somebody you can bring in who's going to sit out a year, and then you know he's going to be eligible to play the next year, at least that gives you a little bit of certainty, you know, for a couple of years down the road, which is a hard thing to find right now. So, I think that makes some sense that they're going down that road with some transfers who potentially will be sitting out.
Yeah, we'll see how thin they are. I mean, last year was insane. A couple final thoughts for Austin Mika, the Register Guard, NBA Finals. We know Durant worked his way back, missed a month, having a great game, goes out with an Achilles injury. Do you buy into any of this tinfoil hat theory that he was misled medically? Or I'm saying also he's an elite competitor. It's the NBA Finals. He wanted to be out there, or something in the middle here. I mean, what's your read on what happened last night?
Well, first of all, can we say that anybody who questions whether Kevin Durant was fully committed to coming back has been proven to be totally misguided?
Absolutely. You know,
obviously, this guy was going to do everything in his power to be on the floor, including, you know, playing on an injury that clearly was not 100%. And, you know, the Warriors can say that they didn't feel like there was any risk of him injuring himself further by playing last night, but clearly he was not 100%, and clearly these two injuries are connected in some way. You know, you just, a player like Kevin Durant, you don't get to the level that he's at and achieve as much as he has achieved in his career and then say, oh, you know what, it's the NBA Finals, I'm just going to take it easy. It's not like this is the second night of a back-to-back in February. It's the NBA Finals. Now, obviously, this guy was doing everything he could to be out there. You know, for a guy who had as much at stake as he did, it tells you something about him that he was out there last night. It's a really sad story, and I don't know that anybody's really to blame for it. But even if you're not a Kevin Durant fan, even if you don't like him personally, which a lot of people don't, I think you have to kind of feel for him in this situation.
Yeah, you know, people get on his case because he's been kind of a jerk on Twitter. But when you consider what we've seen from some athletes committing actually vile acts, it's like, all right, go easy. Lastly, so pretty emotional game last night. We got the clutch gene from the Splash Brothers. We get a game six. We'll see the last game ever at Oracle on Thursday. So you think we're going to see the second ever 3-1 deficit overcome in the finals? Or do you still think that this ends up the first title for Toronto?
You know what? If I was a Raptors fan right now, I would not be breathing too easy, I'll tell you that. But this Warriors team, you know, you got to step on the neck. You give them even an inch of daylight, you got to be kind of nervous about that. It's going to be hard for Golden State to win this series without Kevin Durant, even though he only played a few minutes. He was part of that win last night. This postseason has been weird for Golden State because this series, these finals, have been kind of what I thought we would see from them in the Western Conference Finals against the Blazers. You know, they in the finals, the Warriors have looked kind of old, kind of beat up, not the team that they've been in the past. It kind of threw me off the way that they swept the Blazers. But this has sort of been what I thought we would see from the Warriors in the playoffs. So, you know, I think Toronto may regret not putting them away when they have the chance, but I also think it's going to be a really tough uphill climb for Golden State to come back and win the series.
Well, at least we've got a series. Folks, he is the fine columnist for the Register Guard. Check it out in the sports section online, registerguard.com, ducksports.com. On Twitter, it is at Austin Meek, RG. Austin, always a pleasure. Good stuff. And be safe out there when you actually do drive.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Steve.
All right. Take it easy.